There are many out there, dear friends in Christ, who read the Word of God either in part or in whole, claim its supremacy, but then make completely false, heretical, or degenerate statements based on, so they would claim, what the Bible says, what Scripture says. A particular group that does so and has done so since Jesus' day is the Jews. And here I mean observers and practitioners of Judaism, not ethnic Jews. Have you not heard it said, children of God, that the Old Testament is the holy book of the Jews and the Christians? I saw that one on Wikipedia. Have you not been included with the Jews in the phrase Judeo-Christian? Do not allow such a phrase to be said of you. Despisers of Christ are not to be counted as your brothers in faith. Truly they are, for you can observe a reference in the Talmud to a man named Yeshu, whose identity isn't certain, but many Jews have no problem saying this is Jesus of Nazareth. And what is the deal with Yeshu? Well, he's boiling in excrement for eternity. Is such degeneracy the result of a right understanding of the Old Testament? Absolutely not, dear friends. The Old Testament is no one's book but yours. Christ, our dear Lord, has declared, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Christ makes it clear that what the prophets have written, they have written concerning him. If you read the prophets and reject Christ, you have failed to understand the prophets. If you claim Moses or Abraham as your father, yet spit on the one who was promised to them who they long to see, I assure you that Moses and Abraham don't know you. Our Lord makes this point abundantly clear several chapters later in Luke 24, saying, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Old Testament is about Jesus. Make no mistake, dear friends. The whole Bible is about Jesus. See this illustrated in the second part of the gospel reading. The story of Bartimaeus, not named here in this particular telling of the story, but in Mark's gospel he's named Bartimaeus, this blind beggar. This story is told every year on this Sunday in the one-year lectionary because this is a Sunday mainly focused on faith. What is faith? And what does it do? See what it does in all the particular details of this wonderful story. It begins, "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." Bartimaeus cannot see. The text is clear. is unclear, as to whether he was blind from birth or not. But nevertheless, he lacks the means by which the majority of the world forms their beliefs. Sight. Humanity, generally speaking, believes in what it can see. If a man can't see, in what will he believe? But he heard something. Indeed, a multitude passed by. And so in faith, he inquires as to the nature of this multitude. His faith sought more. He could not rely on his own understanding, since all was dark and black to him. And so he asked around what this multitude was that was passing him by. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus of Nazareth was passing him by. And this is a message that faith clings to, dear friends. What is Bartimaeus told? Jesus is here. He's here among you. Do you not all hear the same message? Do not the pastors that come here preach proclaim to you the same? Jesus is here among you. He has promised, saying, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." He's promised that you partake in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. "This is my body, this is my blood," he tells you. "You are buried with him through baptism into death," as Paul writes in Romans. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," he has promised. How do you react to this awesome, truly awesome gospel which you hear? How does the man Bartimaeus react? When he is told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, see his reaction. Immediately after he's told, we heard that he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He hears the gospel that Jesus is here. And what does he reveal in his words? He has faith, and not just some vague, non-saving faith in some abstract concept of God, but saving faith in Christ the Lord. For he gives Jesus a name which he could only hear and believe through true knowledge of the scripture, which for him could only be what we now call the Old Testament. He applies a messianic name to Christ. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows that Jesus is the Son of David, yet David in the Spirit calls him Lord. Such a conundrum was a paradox to those who claim to love the scriptures but reject Christ, and yet this blind beggar has faith which cuts through this man-constructed paradox and calls Jesus who he is, namely, the Messiah promised to David, to Abraham, and to all who believe. Not only does he have this faith created through hearing the word of God, hearing indeed, for what else could a blind man do? But see what he asks for in faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. A profound statement, for in faith, he knows that he is stained by sin and that he is in a world full of sin. This fact is apparent to him because he can't see. He's blind, a state brought on by a fallen world full of malady. Not only does he recognize his sinful state, but he also confesses by pleading for mercy that Jesus of Nazareth is one with the authority to have mercy on a blind man. Christ is traveling to the cross when he meets Bartimaeus, if you recall from the beginning of the story. And through the faith in the man on the cross, we receive mercy. He atones for our death upon it, and the object of our faith is Christ. We prefer the crucifix, that is a cross with a body on it, over the empty cross, because the atonement is how our sins are taken away. And our sins are laid not upon the wood of a cross, but upon the man on the cross. Christ is King, and his throne of glory is indeed the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, who died for your sins on the cross, is one with authority over life and death. Jesus of Nazareth is the door, the only door, through which one may enter into salvation. Pardon my stricken voice. So much to be said about so little. But there's more, friends, in this beautiful text. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. How often does it happen, dear faithful in the Lord, that those around you would rather you remain blind? How often does it happen that your public outcries of faith are silenced and shushed? How often does it happen that those around you do not want you to express your faith in the blissful reality that Jesus of Nazareth has come? Such a thing is happening in our text. Bartimaeus sits among those who do not want Jesus to reach him. And so what is a faithful man to do in this situation? But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He will not be deterred, for his faith is strong, and he will not quit until he grabs hold of Jesus in the fullness of his teaching. He will not let the societal pressures of those around him stop him from expressing his faith, and so he continually cries out to Christ, heedless of those who would have him be quiet and go back to a reality of dark, lonely silence. And finally, the Lord takes notice, though indeed by him Bartimaeus was knit together in the womb of his mother, and all the hairs of his head were known to Jesus of Nazareth. But yet we hear, So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Notice, Bartimaeus calls out in faith and shoves those aside who would prevent him. Yet still, the Lord must cause him to be brought before him. It is the lost shepherd who finds the sheep, dear friends. What do you want me to do for you? What a question to be asked by the author of reality. Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, who holds all things in reality together, asks a poor blind beggar simply, what do you want? Jesus is not a jinn or a genie seeking to entrap a man in his desires, but the one upon whom all may cast their burdens. He asks, and he is prepared to do precisely what is asked for, knowing that the one who asks does so in great faith, faith that came through hearing the word of God. What does Bartimaeus ask? A simple thing, really. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. A thing impossible for man, but not for the Son of Man, about whom all the Old Testament speaks. For indeed, the Word of God speaks of the Word of God made flesh, an impossible gift for man to give. But for the one who has made man's mouth, who makes him mute or seeing or blind, such a thing is simple. What does Bartimaeus want? He wants the Lord to reveal himself. Bartimaeus does not try to find Christ where he may not be found, but goes to where Christ is, and there eagerly awaits Christ to reveal himself in the way he has promised. We see much the same in the Greeks, who after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, showing beforehand what he will do to all of us on the last day, came to Philip and said, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. What faith that Bartimaeus shows in that all he wants is to see Jesus. And what he asked for in faith, he received. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Bartimaeus is given his sight. And what is the first thing his blind eyes see? Jesus. After all the dark gloom, the lonely shadow, the uncertainty of his surroundings, after clinging to the sure word of God to anchor him to reality, what is the first thing his eyes behold? Jesus of Nazareth. This is faith. Faith drives one out of the darkness to see the light of the world. And that faith can only be given by the word of God. What then is the response of one so faithful after Christ has been revealed to him? He follows Christ and glorifies him. And remember, friends, that Christ is at this point traveling to the cross, to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus follows his Lord, though it leads to suffering in the world. Nevertheless, he glorifies God. And what do we hear happens? And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Could Bartimaeus possibly have simply gone back and sat by the wall and continued begging, but this time being able to see rather than just feel the different coins in his hands? No. He must tell everyone what Christ has done and how Christ has been revealed to him. And as a result, the people give praise to God. Such beauty in such a small text. Such faith is present by one who had only the Old Testament yet clung to Christ. Let no one use their rejection of the New Testament as an excuse. Those who read the Old Testament and receive it faithfully, calling out to Christ who passes by, these are the ones who rightly call the Old Testament their book. It's your book, friends. Paul declares, therefore, Know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, seeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "And you, all the nations, shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You are children of Abraham, heirs of the promise, and you are not so because of your ethnicity or earthly lineage, but because of your faith, which has caused you to desire Jesus to show himself to you where he may be found, namely, all over the entirety of Scripture and also here among you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.